sugar, and spice. But we don't play nice. Welcome to Not Your Player 2.
Brought to you by Checkpoint XP.
With your host, Christine Kuki Solis.
You don't like it? Get better.
And Sarah Skopic.
Is this easy mode?
We don't just play as your healers. We play it all.
Welcome to Not Your Player 2 podcast, brought to you by Checkpoint XP and Beasley XP of Beasley Media Group. I'm your host, Christine Solis, a.k.a. Cookie, and I'm also joined by my co-host, Sarah Skopic. How are you doing, Sarah?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Doing good as well. We record and live stream at twitch.tv/checkpointxp every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Come and join us as this is an interactive show. Not Your Player 2 can be found on bpodstudios.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review. We would love to read it on the show, good or bad. We do actually have another review.
Yay!
Please keep this up. We want to see reviews every week.
All the time.
Right. So it is actually another 5-star review. Thank you so much to Deadpool X007. Thank you, Deadpool.
Is that X like he's shipping, like they're shipping them, or X as in like times like multiplied together?
It looks like a times.
All right, got it. Fair game, fair game. Anyway. Oh, I'd love to see that fan fiction.
Thank you, Deadpool. Anyway, he says, love it. I love this podcast for how genuine, or is it genuine? Genuine? Genuine.
I say genuine, but you do you,
genuine,
girl.
Tomato, tomato. I love this podcast for how genuine it is. Two people who seem to be genuinely love what they do. So many laughs and intelligent conversations ranging from all things entertainment and gaming. The fun Cookie and Sarah have doing the show really grows on you and makes it a fun show to listen to. Would recommend and keep up the incredible work. And thank you so much, Deadpool. And lots of laughs. Yeah, we are pretty giggly here.
Yeah, that's just my nature.
Same here. Like, I have to remember, oh no, don't laugh right into the mic.
I know. Oh, well, we fail. But it's okay, because people like it and makes it all fun. Yes. So it's all for a good cause.
Yes. And again, leave us a review, share, subscribe, listen. We want those reviews in once a week at least. So it's been 2 in a row so far.
Yeah. Keep it up. Don't be the combo breaker.
Coming up on today's show, we caught up with Chiquita Evans, NBA 2K League player for Warrior Gaming Squad, and our stories about our moms for this Mother's Day weekend. But first, let's check on the latest gaming news. PlayStation State of the Play for May happened this past week, revealing a few trailers. We're going to run down through the list. The first one was Monster Hunter World Iceborne, which comes to the PS4 on September 6th. Are you a big Monster Hunter World fan?
I never got into it, but now I feel like I need to.
Oh my gosh.
It got so much bigger than I thought it would. Like, I remember back when it was pretty much a DS game, and I knew one person who liked to play it. It's not usually those kinds of games that, like, don't have much of, like, are less story oriented and just more of, like, fight after fight to get items are not usually my type, but they've grown from that, so I guess I should give it a chance.
Yeah, it has a good cooperative play aspect to it. I think that's the only reason why I would play it a lot on the PSP when it was on there. Just with Monster Hunter World on the PS, I haven't been able to play on the PS4. I mean, I haven't been able to play. So maybe we should do a Monster Hunter World stream after the Borderlands.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. So next up was Riverbond, which is basically a dungeon crawling game. It has indie crossovers such as Bastion and Shovel Knight. So it was a little cutesy thing. The next one was Predator Hunting Grounds by Ilphonic. It's coming in 2020. And they are working close with Fox on this one. Are you into like these multiplayer hunting kind of
games? I never got into them much myself unless you count like one of the like Mario games where you do that.
With Mario games.
But I don't know if that counts. But no, I haven't. So this is Predator, like the movie Predator.
Yeah,
right?
It's a movie named Predator. That's why they're close with Fox with this one.
Got it. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, they did some good, it wasn't quite the same, but they did some interesting stuff with like Alien Isolation. I always get the two mixed up in my head. Please don't hate me. I know they're very, very different movies. So we'll see. But no, I haven't really got into these myself, although they're the kind of games that I really think are interesting in theory, but are too anxiety inducing for me to actually play and have fun.
Exactly. We have Friday the 13th, which is basically kind of the same. Yes. It looks like it has the same thing going on, and it's just kind of like, oh my gosh, something's chasing me.
Yeah, I love to watch, like, I got really into watching people play Friday the 13th just because of all the ridiculous things that can happen, and it's probably what's going to happen to me this time.
Next up, this one I'm really excited for is Medieval. They are remaking it and putting it on the PS4 for October 25th, 2019. I don't know if it's not remake, it's remastered, sorry.
Okay.
So I did play this game a lot when I had my PlayStation 1, so I'm excited for that one.
Oh, okay. No, I never got into it myself. What's the genre of it?
It's kind of like, you know, Spyro.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah. Nice. The next one is called Away the Survival Series. It's basically a little flying squirrel. We're going through the forest and trying to survive through, like, predators and fires and stuff. So,
is it a cute game or is it a scary game?
It's a pretty game and cute.
Oh, so got it. Okay.
It's pretty because of all the landscaping of everything.
So. Right. Okay.
And then finally, the last one was, of course, the most, you know,
highly anticipated of them all.
Yes. Final Fantasy VII Remake. We get a little trailer of what's going on. It says it's not actual gameplay, but you never know. You can get little hints of it. It's not turn-based, of course.
No, they're all going all action, not action, what's it called? Oh my gosh, not turn-based, it's not live action, what's it called? It's
action RPG, kind of like just Kingdom Hearts, kind of.
Yes, exactly. I can't think of the term. But yeah, it was hard for me to know what to expect because it's not a gameplay, you know, like video. They're showing parts that look like they're battle sequences.
Right.
But I've been burned before. Like, I remember when I first saw the trailers for Final Fantasy 13 and thought, oh, the battle systems look so cool, and they're nothing like that at all. So I don't know. Like, that's the thing I really want to know more about. I know you can make pretty cutscenes, Square Enix. I don't care about the pretty cutscenes.
I mean, I like the cutscenes, but it's just the gameplay.
That's what I mean. Okay. Let me rephrase. I also love the pretty cutscenes, but I can watch AMVs and get the same thing. Let me see what the gameplay is.
Anyway, so Square Enix does have their presentation at E3 in June, and they did say that there will be more to reveal in June for the Final Fantasy VII Remake. So we'll see. We'll have to wait until June, which is next month. Wow.
Yeah.
Where did the time go?
Coming up fast.
Microtransactions and loot boxes have been frowned upon by some. It's already been declared illegal in some countries like China and Belgium. But it looks like it may be possible here in the U.S. Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri officially announced that he will be introducing to legislation the banning of loot boxes and microtransactions. He says, social media and video games prey on user addiction, siphoning our kids' attention from the real world and extracting profits from fostering compulsive habits. No matter this business model, advantages to the tech industry, one thing is clear, there is no excuse for exploiting children through such practices. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this guy has obviously done a little bit of research into this. I mean, he's not talking so much as, like, we have some of our older Congress members that are asking about, like, how does Facebook make money? There is some attention drawn to this. This is pretty big. Obviously, it's just legislation. We don't know what it's going to look like. We don't even know where it will pass or if it will even be really considered. But this is big, for both good and bad reasons.
Yeah.
You know, it definitely has my attention because it's like, I think video games kind of enjoy this peaceful, you know, kind of glaze because, you know, they're a corporation that made money, and with our current political climate, they just were kind of able to skate by, but not anymore. this is pretty big as far as the attention it's now being drawn to, and whether changes are going to be made or not, certainly the way it's looked at is going to be immensely different.
Yeah. Now that this has been officially announced, I mean, I've seen Josh Hawley, like, you know, say, hey, we need to get rid of these loot boxes and microtransactions. It just wasn't, you know,
didn't really get anywhere till now.
Yeah, seriously, until now. So I don't know, because video game developers do make money off of this. That's how they make their games. It's just now they got to change stuff around. So we'll see what happens.
It will be interesting. To be fair, they are. I mean, what's interesting is they're doing microtransactions and loot boxes. I admittedly have more of a problem with the loot box part rather than the microtransaction part. But I'd be curious to see what kind of things that they bring up, because it is true that lots of games, like I think Fortnite, for example, thrives almost entirely on microtransactions.
Exactly.
So this will change a lot if this actually goes through, or they put error, depending on how vague or how specific it is. This is not, I mean, this could really change how games are made and funded and such like that. I'm not sure if we're necessarily going to have like a crash, but depending on where this goes, but certainly a lot of big companies are probably should be a little concerned right now. And if they're not, well, you had your chance, you know, video game companies, to really put your own like reins on this in the way that you want to, but you didn't. So now the government's involved.
I wonder how it'll affect with like mobile games, especially like gacha games from Japan. We play those here a lot. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know, especially like I'm thinking like of Hearthstone, or even like, where is this going to include? Because I think of Magic Online, for instance, where you pay money to get like packs of cards. Yeah. And the card industry is not being affected by this. But I mean, the playing card industry, as far as those kinds of games, are basically loot boxes, physical ones. So it'll be interesting to see where they put that line, such as games like Hearthstone or Magic Online, where it's like, these are technically loot boxes, but they also have attachments to being a card game, which, not Hearthstone, but at least for Magic, has physical incarnation. Yeah. So, be curious to see where they tumble. I am a little concerned of where they're going to draw the lines here, just because while this Congress member seems to have some ideas of what he wants to do, I'm not sure if I trust other Congress members, because we unfortunately have a penchant for making very vague laws, because too many pages is bad.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's hard to say like whether it's good or bad. I think I definitely disagree with the predator aspect of loot boxes and how it's affecting children and such like that. At the same time, if they are not careful, this could really change the landscape of video games right now.
Exactly. We've got some interesting stats from the ESA, or the Entertainment Software Association. They basically throw the E3. Every year. They released the 2019 Essential Facts About Computer and Video Game Industry. Some interesting facts to know. 65% of American adults play video games. The average age is at 33 years old is the average age. 46 of those gamers are women. So the facts are pretty interesting. They do kind of categorize it back down to like millennials, Gen X, and boomers as well, and female and male gamers. So,
you know what this shows me that I've been suspecting for years, but this is kind of confirming for me? I feel like the video game industry as a whole is really catering to those who kind of grew up with video games. So here's what I mean. Think about when we were younger, how many games came out that were rated E and maybe even T, versus now, and think about how many games were rated M versus now. Like, the amount of games there are games I play where I'm like, they're normal games, but I'm thinking, these are rated M. There are kids I know that have to find ways around to play these games. They're not necessarily bad games, but that's just how it is now, you know? When's the last time, and there are some, but not as many as it used to be, that you really played like a rated E or rated T game that was catered towards
you. That's true. And then they also, you know, break it down for parents of gamers. They say 87% of parents are aware of ESRB ratings, and 77% of parents regularly use it. So they pay attention.
Yes, good. But I mean, I just think about like, you know, I think one of the reasons people wonder why Pokemon's doing so well, it's one of the few games really these days that's really been able to stay consistently at an E series, really.
But they did put it in there. ESRB rating data, it says 42% of E are received.
Interesting.
Yeah, but only 9% are like M rated. 9, yeah.
so weird. Maybe it's just like popular games. I don't know. Like any game I know that's like popular in the news are usually rated M, if not maybe T, you know? It's just interesting to me.
Anyway, let's break down a little bit more. Like I said, they did break it down by millennial, Gen X, and boomers. So we're going to do millennial gamers for females. We're going to do females because this is a girl gaming podcast.
Obviously. So
millennial gamers, ages 18 through 34, their favorite genres is casual and action games with games such as Candy Crush, Assassin's Creed, and Tomb Raider. So we're millennials, apparently. Sometimes
yeah.
I don't feel like it.
Yeah, we are. But I mean, that's, I mean, yeah. I mean, they got, it's funny because I think a lot of people still think that, oh, girl gamers are only the ones that play Candy Crush. And it's like, no. I mean, and what's funny, they mentioned Assassin's Creed and Tomb Raider. What do those have in common? Female protagonists.
Exactly. Gen X gamers.
Assassin's Creed, I should say.
Yeah. Gen X gamers is ages 35 to 54. Their favorite genres is casual games, including puzzle and classic games such as Tetris and Pac-Man. So that makes sense.
And grew up with.
Exactly. And then boomer gamers, ages 55 through 64, card, puzzle, and virtual game boards, so like Mahjong and Monopoly. And then it says 22% of female boomers have been playing video games for 25 plus years.
Nice!
Yeah.
We're out there, people! Granny on Skyrim, man. But yeah, I mean, there's really, you play what you like, right? And there's a reason why those games like that we're seeing are constantly being remade because right. Honestly, our millennial generation is a little obsessed over nostalgia, I have to say.
Exactly.
But at the same time, we're also, we're kind of a big share of the market, so they keep making those games and we keep playing it because we like to play what's familiar. Just like the boomers are playing virtual games that they probably played, you know, on an actually physically. It makes sense to me.
Yeah. So good on ESA. I'm glad they brought out these stats because they're pretty interesting here to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
An esports clothing company called Ateo released a parody music video of Ariana Grande's Thank You Next. The video is called Thank You Games, and it's basically their promotional video for their new collection of women's wear, of esports women's wear. The hate is real on this one, which is weird because the YouTube video currently has 1,500 downvotes and only 209 likes. But on their Twitter account, when they revealed it, they have 3,600 likes.
What is going on? Like, if you haven't seen this video, watch the video. You can find it on YouTube. It's called Thank You Games. It is the most, like, inoffensive celebration of female gamers I've ever seen.
Exactly.
There is... I don't get it. I don't get the hate. And what's even worse is when you look at the comments, which I chose to and I wish I hadn't, so much of the hate comments are from women. Basically being all like, oh, this is so cringy. Oh, I don't support this or blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why? They're not the lyrics. I'm not. Here is the most controversial lyrics. Let me see if I can find it. This like the lyrics are literally just things like, hey, it's been hard on us. The community support us, but quizzing us because they're trolls, which every woman has experienced
exactly.
When you're in gaming or comic books or anything. But together we're special. Wish I could say thank you to Twitch chat, blah, blah, blah. Games taught me love. Games taught me patience. One taught me pain. That's from the Thank You Next song. It's, you know, whatever. And then it's like, it's just saying thank you to games and saying games are awesome. And the next, like, and the next verse is just literally, hey, these are the games I like to play. What makes that cringy?
Sarah's ranting right now.
Sorry.
No, it really
just makes me mad.
Yeah, it's not cringy at all. I mean, Ariana Grande is like one of the top artists right now. So having a parody video of her with video games and all the people in this music video are women who play video games. I mean, you got
yeah.
Suzy Kim, she's she's the director of youth esports for Cloud9. You got some Twitch streamers. You got, I don't know, you got the founders of Ateo also there. So
yeah.
If you don't know Ateo is founded by, Rachel Feinberg and Brianne Pollock. They founded this esports clothing company. So they're promoting women in gaming. So I don't get it at all.
I don't get it. The video is well done. It's just very basic. You've got, they're, you know, referencing the Thank You Next song. They're also kind of doing some dancing. Nothing like ridiculous.
No.
And the production value is high. By the way, it's 211 likes because I just liked it because screw you all. Women, stop. Stop trying to be like, oh, I'm not like these feminists. Just stop. You're right. Not helping anything.
We're supposed to support each other. That was the whole point.
Oh, support each other. If you think it's cringy, just laugh and go, well, this was made in it, you know, whatever. Just stop trying to have your cool cred, but being like, oh, this is so weird. I don't like it. Why are women promoting about being in gaming? I'm just a gamer, not a girl gamer. Just stop. Just let people have things that are cool, that they like.
So what I want people to do is share this video on your Facebook and Twitter, because seriously, this is such a great video. I love this video.
Yeah, it's cute. I do think it's weird that the disparity between YouTube and Twitter is so high. Yeah. That is extremely weird to me. And I mean, like, I don't know. We have, unfortunately, for those who really want to get into the politics of American politics, it turns out that apparently we have been, lots of fake accounts have been made to try to shift comment sections of things before. And that's all I'm going to say this tinfoil hat episode. But
those Russian bots.
But I don't think that's what this is. But I don't know why it's such a disparity with YouTube versus Twitter. I'd be very curious what our Twitch commenters and Twitch subscribers feel. I mean, YouTube's kind of going in weird directions these days, so I can't help but wonder. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, so Ateo, so they, like I said, they were promoting their women's wear, so check them out. In a couple weeks, we actually have an interview scheduled with the founders of Ateo. So
exciting!
Yep. So coming up next, Mother's Day is this weekend. We love our moms, so we're going to share some of our stories that involved our moms, including a story about D&D. Stay tuned.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This weekend is Mother's Day's weekend. We have to pay tribute to our moms, of course. I mean, they birthed us. They raised us. They put up with us when we wanted the latest and greatest.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So let's share a couple stories with our moms and what we do. Sarah, let's start off with you.
My mother was never much of a gamer herself. She really did not discover those kinds of worlds till she had my brother and I. But she is such a trooper. She learned super early on about save points and how before we got to go to dinner, we had to get her to our save point and then we could leave. she will even, like, if we're downstairs, she'll watch the games with us. She'll sometimes get super involved in the stories. And she's even talked to me about how she's really enjoyed seeing, my love for, like, women in video games. By that I mean, like, my brother and I grew up playing Dynasty Warriors all the time, and she just always thought it was super cool of how excited I would get when there were female characters I could play as, because that wasn't always the experience. Right. And how I would always pick them and always be like, nope, these are awesome, I'm gonna go with them. And even when it went into my Nancy Drew game, she was super fascinated by all of that. Or she got really into when we played Mass Effect and stuff. So that's the video game aspect of it. But more importantly, my mother played Dungeons and Dragons.
Wow.
Yep. So long story short, my brother, this nerdy 13-year-old guy, knew about D&D. We were up north in our cabin. He found like a third edition starter set and played it with my mother and I. I was like 10 at the time.
How cute.
Yeah, and we got super into it, so then we made our own characters. So it was my mother and I each had two characters, so we had a full party. I was a wizard and a rogue because I thought those were cool. She was a paladin and a cleric because my mother is a good Jesus-loving woman. And I'm not joking. That's why she picked those types, those classes, I should say. And we played together. She got the rules. She always was like, she was so much fun to play with because she really thought outside the box. Like, this is super random, but I will never forget it. We were in a dungeon one time, and we want to go beyond this door, but we know there's something going on there. We don't know what it is. And so, quite literally, she goes, okay, well, I'm going to open the door a crack and put my mirror through to see what's, you know, what's kind of going on. Because she had a mirror in her items pack for whatever reason, so she used the mirror to figure out what was in the room. Like, just stuff like that. Whenever she was any kind of, we played other games together. Whenever she was like a wizard-like character, she would think of all these creative things to use her magic powers for and would always ask, like, can I do this? Like, I don't know why not.
You guys should play D&D now, stream it.
I know. She doesn't play with us anymore. She stopped many years ago, mainly kind of almost 10 years ago, unfortunately, mainly because when my brother would start to get other friends to play with him. Cause like I said, it started with just my mom and I, and then he got people more interested, but we would stay up super late. And she just never really got back into it, but she, she's a riot. So, love you, Mom.
Yes. So, with my mom, I have to attribute my love for gaming to her because she actually bought us the Game Boy. So, if it wasn't for Game Boy, I wouldn't have my love for Tetris and Tetris games. And, of course, buying Super Nintendo, PlayStation, all our games. So, I got to give props to Mom. So, I do have a story where, you know, when we first bought our computer, there was this thing called Microsoft Entertainment Pack, the puzzle collection. Do you remember that? And like a collection of different little games.
Probably. What was in it? Because I probably did.
There was like one of my favorite games was like Fringer, and it's basically you untangle little knots in the game and make sure it's all untangled. And then there's another game where you like mix animal species and you're trying to put them together to the actual species it's supposed to be. I know, it's just a weird little...
Oh, wow. You know, I don't think I did have this pack, but that sounds interesting.
I love this entertainment pack. The one game that we were playing was called Color Collision. So it's basically like a ray of light, you know, that you see in Microsoft screensavers. You see this little ray of light and different... Yeah. So like, it's that ray of light. And then it would have like suns of different colors. So the ray of light would change colors when you go to that same color. I was addicted to that game. I would have, like, all the high scores is all my name. I let my mom play. I'm sitting there watching her. I'm like, okay, why are you, it's going faster. What? She's beating my score. Oh my gosh. So she beats my score and she's like all excited. She jumps up from the chair and starts dancing and whatnot and pointing at me. And then she types in Queen Fae as the top score. I'm like, thanks,
Your mom's
mom.
A boss.
Yeah, my mom's a boss. She usually plays right now is Candy Crush and casino games. So she does fall into Gen X. She does play Candy Crush and casino games right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, you know, there's not many top, you know, moms in video games that we know of, but at checkpointxp.com, the Checkpoint crew made a list of the top video game moms. We're going to know a couple of them here, but if you want to see the whole list, check it out at checkpointxp.com. The first one I see that I think Sarah would know more is Toriel in Undertale.
Yes, Mama Goat!
Mama Goat, yeah. That's what all I know about this game is,
yes,
Toriel.
She's from Undertale. I mean, there's very little I can really say without it, like, super spoilerific if you're going to play. I mean, the game's been out forever, but still. I think what's the most heartbreaking about this particular character is that she's one of the first bosses you can kill. So she takes you in at the beginning. This is not a spoiler. She takes you in. You're a human who fell into this monster world. she saves you from this evil flower, Flowey, and she's kind of teaching you about puzzles, and she's like holding your hand, and she's asking you what kind of pie you like, and then she's keeping you in her house, and then you basically, you horrible child, you want to leave. You want to leave in the underground, and she's like, no, you're safe here, and you're like, no, I must leave, and so then she tries to stop you. But during the fight, if you are down to a certain amount of HP, she won't hit you. Like, literally, her attacks are almost impossible to try to get hit by.
Huh.
And so it's either, like, you got to figure out how to spare her or you kill her. So Mama Goat forever. She's best mom. And she's also got a disheartening a bit. She's got a very disheartening backstory, but she just... all she wants to be is like a mom and a school teacher, and that's all you want for her.
Yeah. Carlotta in the chat, twitch.tv/checkpoint, says, when my mom was alive, she was a boomer gamer. She loved playing Tetris and Cubert. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I like mom gamers. We need to do a stream with these mom gamers.
Oh my goodness, that would be fun.
Another one here on the list, we have the boss of Metal Gear Solid 3. Now, I didn't get to play through all of Metal Gear Solid 3, but she is very kick-ass. She's a pretty badass mom. She's basically like a figurative mother of, you know, the Cobra unit. So she calls them their sons, and she basically raised them. Hey, I do this, I do that. She's very patriotic, so she's definitely the big mom in that video game. But thinking about it back, I'm like, there's not many video game moms, are there?
No, unfortunately. And you know, I was having this conversation with some people the other day. What's really kind of disappointing is it's very accepted for us to have a story about like a father or a father figure trying to save or take care of a child. Yeah. So, I mean, there's so like Last of Us made it popular. The Walking Dead original Telltale series, God of War 4 did it. Like there's been quite a few games with that motif, but there's pretty much almost no, or if there are, there's like one indie game I know that plays with this, but I don't know any others, and someone can correct me, where it's mothers as a main playable character doing something for, you know, their child in some way. And I mean, unfortunately, it probably just goes back to basic sexism of the whole idea of like, well, dad's got to be rough and tough and, you know, go out there and save the day, while moms just kind of usually stay home and are very nurturing and stuff like that. And it's like, no, let me have my Lara Croft mom.
Yeah, I'm like thinking about it. There isn't many. I mean, if they do expand on Tomb Raider with Lara Croft being an older mom with her daughter, then maybe.
I love it. It's very, like, again, there are mom characters. Skuro says in the chat, Pokemon mom is sticking it through thick and thin. But, like, that's all they really are, is they're NPCs.
Yeah.
Or even worse, they're dead. Or just even, they're not as important. Like, how often have we had a story that maybe does feature a female protagonist, but, like, there's more, she's, like, carrying on a legacy of her father's. How many stories do we hear carrying on a legacy of a mother?
Not many.
Not many, if any. No. I can't think of any. So, this is, like, I want this. I want this. I want a mom main character action game, or whatever kind of game. This reminds me, I have to mention this on chat. This reminds me, there was this like Tumblr post from like years ago where someone just made these like aesthetic pictures of kind of like 50s moms with like bloody chainsaws and stuff like that. And so there was this idea of a game people had where it was like set in the 50s, you know, your cookie cutter homes, your dad goes to work and makes the money and the mom stays at home and cooks for all the kids. It was like some zombie disease that only really impacted men because of some reason. And so all the people who have to fight back are like these 50s moms and their little skirts and aprons and like gloves and prim and proper with chainsaws. And I would play that game in a heartbeat.
So it was just a concept. But idea.
It's a concept. It was real at all, but I need this in my life. So bad.
It sounds like fun.
Oh my gosh. But yeah.
Anyway, do you have a favorite video game mom? Or did your mom do anything to embarrass you in gaming or helped you with your gaming habits? Share us your stories on social media at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
NBA 2K League is in Las Vegas this weekend for the Turn Tournament. It is sponsored by AT&T. I was able to attend day one of the Turn and get to speak with Chiquita Evans of the Warriors Gaming Squad. Again, she is the first woman drafted into the NBA 2K League, so this is a big deal to me, and I was super nervous. So if I sound kind of weird in this interview, please excuse me. All right, so let's go ahead and tune on.
Hey, this is Christine Solis, a.k.a. Cookie, with Checkpoint XP, right here live at the Turn at the HyperX Esports Arena in Las Vegas. I'm here with Chiquita Evans of the Warriors Gaming Squad. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. So this is the first time the NBA 2K League is outside of New York. How does it feel to be here in Las Vegas?
Man, it feels great. This is a magnificent arena. Crazy. It's been definitely a blessing. It feels good to be a West Coast team, to be able to be on the West Coast. We got a lot of fans here. You know, it's definitely been a surreal experience.
Right. Now, you are, of course, the very first woman drafted into the NBA 2K League, and you have overwhelming support from everyone on social media, it seems. How do you feel?
Man, it's definitely been amazing, the support I've been getting. It's been a lot of negativity, but I must say that the positive, you know, outweighs the negative. So I can't really dwell on that, you know, and I'm so grateful and so thankful for everybody that's in my corner.
Right. And your team, the Warriors Gaming Squad, have they been treating you equally? Or, like, you're, like, one of the guys, right?
Yeah. It's, you know, no different. You know, we all chill. We go out to eat. You know, we just basically like a family. We don't have any issues with each other. You know, a great locker room, you know, great players, low ego. So I definitely can't say that we have any issues. I was drafted in a great position.
Awesome, awesome. Now, I know you've been a big basketball fan, you know, like, since forever. Now, how is it different from playing real life basketball versus NBA 2K?
Well, there's a lot of similarities, but there are some differences. Like, you have to understand the, like, 2K spacing. A lot of things that, you know, like play calling that would work in real life basketball doesn't necessarily transition well into the NBA 2K. So you basically have to play around with what works, and you at some point you have to understand that it is a video game. It's not 100% real. So a lot of things will happen that you don't expect it to. You just gotta live with it and keep fighting.
Alright, and then who's your favorite all-time NBA player?
All-time or currently?
All-time.
Michael Jordan. The GOAT.
Okay, current.
Kevin Durant.
Alright.
Female, women, Diana Taurasi.
Awesome, awesome. Good. Now, NBA 2K, it only has 21 teams right now. Do you think it's
22 now?
22, yeah, that's right. Do you think of the completing with the whole entire NBA?
That's the goal. We're hoping so. We're hoping that a few more teams buy in by the end of the season. But we do know that we're trying to, you know, I know that we're trying to also do some things overseas. So I definitely think this league is going to grow, and I'm definitely here for the ride.
All right. Awesome. Now, I do a girl gamer podcast called Not Your Player 2. What do you want to say to all the female video gamers or who wants to be pro in video games?
I say keep pushing. Keep striving. No matter what, if this is your goal, this is your dream, perfect your craft, become a better player, and also develop some tough skin, because it's going to happen. So be prepared for that, but never give up.
All right. Thank you so much, Chiquita. Where can they find you on social media?
Social media, my handle on Twitter is just Chiquita, Q-U-I-T-A, and my Instagram is Chiquita E126.
All right. Thank you. Hope you have a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, so that was the interview. Yes. Please follow her, like she said, at twitter.com/Qita, sorry, Q-U-I-T-A. So I love this interview. I was nervous as heck, but
that was awesome. I think what's so like the most important takeaway from this is that there is hope for this for women in esports, you know, not just as far as like, hey, we finally got one woman in here. I'm not saying that. We still need to do better on that. Not taking that part away. But just the fact that it works, integration is fine. We can do it. Boys and girls can play together.
Exactly.
And that's what I think is just really awesome. The fact that she does feel comfortable with these players. And so, because I think, unfortunately, more than just the idea of that, you know, there is difficulty for women getting into esports is this weird idea that even if they get in, they can't play with anybody with, you know, the rest of the boys. And it's like, that's not always true. You know, put some, you know, safety measures in place, like any organization, but it can happen. So, you know, but at the same time, yep, unfortunately you do have to get some tough skin, which I wish it didn't. But yeah, that is unfortunate where we're at. So it's just very exciting to hear something like this.
Yeah, and it was great watching her interact with her teammates, the Warriors Gaming Squad. Like, they exactly treat her like she's one of the guys. Hey, we're cool with each other. Let's go out for dinner, like she said. They go out to eat, and, you know, they play and they practice together. She's just one of the guys, and just don't be afraid to be like her. Like, you know, just exactly what she says. Just perfect your game, perfect your skill. If you want to go out to do professional esports, go for it. Just don't be afraid. Just get that tough skin, because you are going to get that no matter what.
Yeah. And hopefully someday, instead of having to be like one of the guys, we can just have full integration and it's like be like a team. That's what my hope is someday.
Yeah. TrashPandaTV at twitch.tv/checkpoint. And the chat says, yeah, I think it's a shame that so much of the talented women bring like Gregory's out there that do not have the appeal for it because of the boys club nature. And we get it. Like, we're trying to be one of the boys, which is kind of sad to say, but
which is sad. I mean, I think that's what's hard that a lot of guys don't really realize is we kind of have to put on a mask when we're around this boys club culture, which is too bad, because I think there is room for having a more open culture. I think there's a way to have it where it's not just boys culture, but game culture. And right now it's like game culture is boys culture. And that's too bad. You know, I really do think that it doesn't need to be like that. And I think that's why it's really important to kind of get more kind of equal presence with female esports, just because when you have that, you kind of naturally have to work together to make that more open culture. We've had to do it with integration for, I mean, this is a weird analogy, but it's the only analogy I can really give for this at the top of my head. But it's like when we had to do racial integration for sports, you know, there were people that believed it couldn't happen, and it did. And look where we're at. And it's important.
It just took a while. It took
so long.
So long time. So it's going to probably be the same with us, women in gaming.
Unfortunately, which is so frustrating. But yes, unfortunately.
So just all you got to do, like it's an always repeat statement I've been saying here with me and Sarah on Not Your Player 2. It's just support each other, period.
Yes. Stop hating on things. You're getting mad again.
All right. I think that will do it for today's show. Thank you so much for joining us today on Not Your Player 2. Our regular live stream is every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Come and join us for the discussion. You know, we'll always read out your comments here. You can find Not Your Player 2 on bpodstudios.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave us a review. We'll definitely read it on the show. Come on. We want to read a review at least once a week. That'd be great.
Yes.
Checkpoint XP is where you can find more information, news, interviews, and our other shows, including our national syndicated flagship radio show, Checkpoint XP, as well as other podcasts such as the Checkpoint Daily Show, Checkpoint On Demand, Winter Has Come, which is basically the Game of Thrones limited podcast, The Other Identity, which is everything comic books, Low Team Damage, which is Overwatch and Overwatch League. Thank you so much for joining us here today at Not Your Player 2, and we are going to be signing off.
Bye-bye.